Hello, Tiger Nation. I am Byron Hulsey, headmaster at Woodbury Forest School, and I would like to welcome you to the Woodbury podcast series. This podcast consists of informal yet substantive conversations with alumni, faculty, staff, and students. The conversations explore how Woodbury's core values empowered alumni to build a solid foundation for their lives, how those core values are taught today by Woodbury teachers, and how those values are put into practice by today's students. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Woodbury podcast. We're now toward the end of June, and for many folks in the Tiger Nation, this is summer hiatus, but it's not for Fraser Stowers, who's director of our Woodbury sports camp. Before the end of camp, I wanted to take an opportunity just to bring Fraser onto the podcast and hear a little bit about the camp and about his leadership of the camp and also how this summer's gone and why he's excited about the future of Woodbury sports camp, which is such an institution here at Woodbury Forest. Red Kathy Karn started the camp. Gosh, that must be getting close to 60 years ago. You know, it's been a great gateway for Woodbury. Brought a lot of boys here over the years, many of whom have come to Woodbury, and some of whom, of course, have not come, but still get a good taste of the school, its values, what we try to prioritize, and the fun that we have here all year round, but also certainly in sports camp. So Fraser's a veteran. He was started off as a camper, been a counselor. He's been worked on the administrative side of the camps. He's a terrific school leader here at Woodbury. He's dean of the 9th and 10th grade, our 3rd and 4th form, and this year taken over the camp to serve as director, and is incredibly well positioned to do so. Remember, I saw Fraser, I saw you on the first day of camp, and you had a smile ear to ear across your face, and you said, I feel like a cartoon version of my happiest self. And I thought to myself, that's outstanding. It's exactly the kind of spirit that you need for sports camp, which can be enlivening and invigorating and also a little overwhelming with all the energy that these little fellows bring to us. But yeah. So anyway, thanks for taking a little bit of time to join the podcast today, Fraser. Welcome to the show here.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. You and I have talked previously about the camp, and the number of fond memories that I have from my time as a camper extended through my time as a sort of an early young man in my late teens and early 20s, and being back with the camp this year has been awesome.
Yeah, well, tell us about it. Tell us about how the camp's gone. You've faced some challenges, especially heat and dry conditions, and you know, nothing's ever easy. Challenges are out there, but just tell us about the camp. How many kids are here? Where are they coming from? What's the vibe?
It's been a great camp, and I think that Red and Kathy, when they started the camp, and Bill Davis, and you know, all these sort of titans that have led the camp, I think the first thing that it would say is it leans on the counselors.
Yeah.
Everything that happens at the camp depends on their enthusiasm, their buy-in, the relationships that they form with the boys. We have a terrific counselor group of a couple of graduates, some guys that just finished up their sixth form year at Woodbury, and then a whole mess of guys that are still current Woodbury students, but former campers themselves, and some of them are even in their fifth year with the camp already, and they've been doing a great job. And so the camp is in a really good spot. We've got 98 boys this year, our largest camp in quite a while. About half the camp is from North Carolina, which is awesome. You know, we've got a ton of kids from Raleigh and Wilmington and Charlotte, boys who have some relationships with each other, have some sort of tertiary relationships with Woodbury, and you know, even though they've attended other camps themselves prior, wanted to come here. They love sports. Yeah. They want to compete all the time. They want to hang out with our guys, and they get a chance to do that here. You know, when you have a sports-loving boy, which is exactly how I remember myself when I was their age, I mean, this place is like heaven. I mean, you just go full tilt all the time, and you play hard, and the number of ESPN top 10 plays that are made on a daily basis, I mean, they're awesome. And when it's a 13, 14-year-old, you're sort of imagining who they'll be in the next 2 or 3 years as a high schooler. Yeah. And then when it's a 10-year-old and you watch, you know, the team, the coaches sprint out onto the field and pick him up, and it's super fun.
Yeah, it is fantastic. I have a little experience with the camp. I was
a counselor after I graduated in 86 and came back and did it one more summer in 88 and loved it. And of course, we like to say that this is where the camp is where Kirby Smart got his coaching debut.
That's right.
He was a counselor right out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's too much of a stretch to say that we shaped him and formed him, but he had a little taste of this.
He did.
Eli Manning
yep.
came as a boy, mm-hmm. so it has touched and it's got a good bit of reach. Tell us a little bit about what a typical day is like.
Yeah. One of the best parts about it is, and what's unique about the camp actually, is that the camp is organized in these multi-aged teams.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of camps you go to, they sort of filter kids by age only. And so a boy might only spend time with the other guys who are 13, 14, or
right.
just the 12-year-olds. And on our teams, we have boys who are 13, 14 years old and boys who are 10 and 11 years
yeah.
old. And so those guys live together on dorm. You know, you get these bunk rooms that create a good energy and a good team camaraderie. And so living in that space works really well for them. They get up. We hit the dining hall for all of the best types of breakfast items, including, you know, Lucky Charms. And, you know, you beg the boys to eat something other than just
healthy,
the marshmallows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right after breakfast, we get on the field. We meet for a brief moment as a team, as a camp.
Full camp,
and,
right.
And,
still on the steps of the Dick
still
Gym.
Still on the steps of the Dick Gym.
Yeah.
And every team wearing their different and unique color. So
yeah.
you've got this, like, palette of
and what are the team names these days?
Always an interesting topic, Byron. We've got in the Eastern Conference, UVA and UNC.
Uh-huh.
The Southern Conference, we've got Alabama, Georgia. And then we went to the Midwest for Kansas and Texas. Go Longhorns. We picked some West Coast teams in Oregon and Washington. So
nice.
Eight teams, four yeah. conferences, and they compete across seven different team sports three times a day. 9 o'clock, 4:30, 7 o'clock, and those sports are basketball, floor hockey, football, softball, soccer, lacrosse, and handball.
Yeah.
And then occasionally we'll throw in a dodgeball game, which everybody loves. I mean,
yeah.
it's just an all-out organized and chaotic mess, which they enjoy. And then also intermingled in the day, aside from their teams, are opportunities for them to get coached up and opportunities for them to get introduced to sports may have some experience with or may not be. And so those, you know, you add on golf and tennis and pickleball and squash, chances for boys to learn something new, to explore a new interest, to gain some confidence. And it's a really wonderful moment, I think, for coaches, you know, our staff, to get to know the boys a little bit better one-on-one and
yeah.
then also to teach them something that the boys are really interested in. It,
yeah.
it feels good when a boy has learned something and then you see them put that into action. It's really rewarding.
One thing I like about the range of sports that you play is that if he's a really, really fine athlete and he's fairly mature physically, he may be pretty darn strong in mm-hmm. every sport we play. But it's often the case that boys might be good in several sports mm-hmm. and not so good in others.
That's right.
And that's not a bad thing, right?
That's right.
To have your teammates pick you up in some sports when you might need it, and then for you to carry a little bit more of the load mm-hmm. in a few other sports.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's still the case, and you're seeing that all the time.
Absolutely. And it's also a component of, you know, the way that we organize these games. We want them to be competitive, and they are competitive, but we don't want to forget that this is summer camp too.
Right.
And we want the boys to learn and we want them to have a positive experience. And so, you know, we adjust some of the rules of these games, and we position the play of these games so that older or most skilled players in a given sport, you know, they're competing together at the same time. They're getting that
right.
elevated
right.
experience that stretches them and allows them to grow. And then our younger guys or our less skilled guys are competing against each other.
So you're talking about like substitution patterns.
That's exactly right.
For like basketball or something.
That's exactly
like that.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to structure the game so that everybody's in it. Everybody's providing a valuable addition
right.
to their team
yeah.
and are seen as adding value
yeah.
to that team. And then they're also getting a chance to grow in confidence.
And so you're wanting, in an ideal world, you're wanting these 13-year-olds to learn how to pull for the younger kids.
Absolutely.
And mentor them and care for them
Absolutely.
A little bit and lift them up. And you want the younger boys to feel like they've got a contribution to make.
Totally.
Yeah. So keep going. So 7 o'clock is the last game. Mm-hmm. That's over. Then what happens?
So it depends on the night.
Yeah.
So today's a Thursday night, and this year we do a Thursday night campfire.
Uh-huh.
And so we head down to the river where we've got the outdoor pavilion set up. And
got any bug spray?
We've got fire, which is
that's
even
helpful.
Better. We get the boys down there, and the first thing we do is we light the W and
awesome.
Chant and get everybody excited. You know, it's a really special occasion in which each of the head coaches is able to get in front of the camp to recognize some boys as Camper of the Week, you know, who have done a terrific job for their teams.
Yeah.
They're terrible and they're awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
Each team over the course of camp does a skit. At our campfires. Some are more practiced than others, but they are all entertaining. It's great. At the end of the campfire, a boy from each team comes up and we sort of do a volume check based on the cheer, and the team who receives the largest cheer, loudest cheer, gets a pizza party that night in celebration.
That's awesome.
And we do a room clean competition,
uh-huh.
which, you know, dealing with middle school aged boys and high school aged counselors, we do our best.
Not always the highest priority.
It is not. But the boys celebrate regardless of what end of the spectrum they're on there. And so that's a Thursday night for us, but we've done pool parties with Kona Ice Truck come in. We've done hot dogs down at the pool. We've done fir tree nights, which are a huge hit.
I bet. I bet they rip through some milkshakes.
They crush some milkshakes and bacon, egg, and cheese bagels.
Oh boy.
And chicken tenders and
exactly what you need before you go to sleep.
Exactly what you need. So it's been wonderful, and you know, we've got a great group of support staff guys as well who occasionally go out on the lawn in front of the residence and get a couple of fire pits lit for boys to have their evening meetings as a team, where coaches sort of counsel them in the bigger picture, how they're working together, how they are competing together, what we value as a camp and as an institution. And
so tell us a little bit about that. We don't need to stay focused for too long on the serious stuff, but I know you have values you want to wash into the camp and wash over the experiences of the boys and the counselors. What are those values that mean the most to you?
We framed the camp this summer. It's nothing particularly new.
Yeah.
I think that if you talk to counselors going back to the start of the camp in 1967, they'd echo some of these same sentiments. We've framed it around some of the values that we have for our students here. And so those are to take care of each other.
Right.
To work hard and to build your character. And it works really well with the camp because each one of those things sort of takes the lead at a different moment. So at the start of camp, you know, you've got some guys that are battling some homesickness.
Right.
And, you know, that's an important time for teams to come together, for boys to recognize each other for where they're at on that path and to learn about each other and care for one another.
Yeah.
You know, the grind of the second week, middle of June in Virginia, is hot, as you said before.
It's been especially hot this year.
We've had a couple of high 90s days. And, you know, that's our work hard week. You're grinding out your regular season and getting into the thick of things here. And now that we're in our final week of camp, it's tournament week.
Yeah.
We've got everyone broken up into brackets of single elimination tournaments. That's our character week, where we're going to build our character, where we, whether we win or lose, we're going to do it with humility and grace and respect of the game. And we're going to echo some of those values that allow us to grow as people, you know, to learn as leaders, to act as followers. And I think those things are timeless.
I'm sure you do it really well. Some of my greatest memories of sports camp as a counselor were coaching against some of my friends. I wish I could tell you that we all were incredible sportsmen as coaches, but that would be probably a little bit exaggerated.
It is.
Is that still the case? I mean, you're having trying to coach the coaches to be a little less of a jackass on occasion.
100%. And it's totally personal to them.
Yeah.
And they do a great job hyping the boys up and then, you know, taking their arguments behind a closed door.
Yeah.
But, you know, you remember your record.
Oh, yeah.
You remember how well you did, and you remember whether you won some championship. You know, when you're going up against your best friend, it's all out there for everybody to see, and we all love it.
I remember once, my first year being a counselor, 86, I was an assistant coach. I was pitching in softball. They had asked the counselors to pitch. And it was the end of the game, and this may have even been a playoff game. One team was clinging to a one-run lead. It was the last inning with two outs, and the biggest stud from the other team was at the plate, and I'm pitching, just lobbing this ball up, and this guy's at the plate, and he looked like a grown man to me. And he just absolutely tattooed one right back at my face. It was on a frozen rope, and I just threw my glove up, and I caught it, and the game was over. And the other coach was just furious. He was so mad that I had done that. I'm like, I'm just trying to save my life.
That's
but,
right.
But, you know, you get so into the game and the competitive spirit of it. So build your character, whether you win or lose. That's always a good thing to try to remain focused on, even in the midst of the moment that's so emotional. That's great. So that's the end of the evening. Where are the boys residing? What dorms are they using?
Yeah, so we're in Doubtfinch this year.
Yep.
Up on the top floor, we have four teams. So two teams on either side of the hallway and on either end of the building, with the remaining four teams each taking a hallway going down. Now, if you're on Lower Doubtfinch, don't worry that you're separated from everybody, because you have direct access to the commons room. And
there you go.
You know, this is always a fun time. You've got the major sporting events taking place. So this year we were fortunate to have the NHL playoffs going, and the boys are celebrating that. And now we've got the Euro Cup and the NBA draft last night. So the boys love living on the dorms with each other. And the counselors are there too. So the The counselors are engaged with them, and
you got a policy on phones?
No phones.
Oh, good.
This is not
phone free camp.
We are device free.
Device free.
So it was pretty funny. I sent this note out, and you know, got some questions back of what about a Switch
or
an iWatch?
Right.
I'm like, leave them at home.
Yeah.
Like, this is about the relationships formed here, and you can't do that with your nose and one of those things. It's been wonderful, and this always happens. There are a few questions, and then you sort of get into it, and you realize
you don't
how
care.
Wonderful that freedom is.
If everybody's doing it, it feels great to liberate it's yourself comforting. Of these things.
That's right.
Yeah. Sidebar here, I'm reading the new Jonathan Haidt book called The Anxious Generation, and it's not just about the world of social media, although that is a big topic. It's also about how we've robbed kids of kind of informal play because we have so much supervision. It seems to me as if when the camp's going well, it's generally supervised, but there's enough looseness to allow the boys to participate a little bit more freely than might be able to if they were just playing a lot of travel ball.
That's right.
Or something that's so structured that they really don't have much space to engage each other without the hovering presence of an adult all the time who's...
Totally.
Yeah. And you want that. I mean, kids need that. They need the opportunity to kind of grow without us adults, no matter how well-intentioned we are, always hovering over them at every single moment. Mm-hmm.
It's about giving boys an opportunity to engage with each other and then guiding them to it, guiding to that end.
Yeah, and you can't be absent as an adult or a counselor, but it's an art.
That's right. You want to give them appropriate and reasonable space. Mm-hmm. Last night, you know, this hot stretch, and we're in tournament week, so not every team can play just based on the matchups. And one of the best things that we can do is think a little bit on our feet.
Yeah.
And so we drove over to Walmart, grabbed a couple of baby pools.
Yeah, I saw a picture. This is awesome.
Grabbed some tarps from Lowe's and a few bottles of baby soap and a garden hose.
Yeah.
Set up a game of kickball where the boys are running the base paths on this sort of slippery slip and slide, and the bases are the baby pools. And it was that perfect combination of just throw some water at the guys, give them a game, and the boys and the counselors were in it. I mean, they were just having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And it was competitive, but just totally fun and relaxed and exactly what you would...
And spontaneous.
And it's what you hope a kid is able to enjoy when he's a kid. I remember a time, maybe the golf grounds crew wouldn't love this, but one of my favorite memories as a camper was during this. I was playing on the golf course with a counselor and another boy, and we got caught out in just a torrential downpour. Uh-huh. It just came out of nowhere,
yeah.
And we're sitting up on the top of the seventh green, as you know, down by at sort of an edge of campus, and it sits at the top of a hill. And there's so much rain that the rain is pulling off the green, and it's sort of formed this like gully going down the back down the fairway. And all of a sudden, I remember my coach just going dead sprint towards the edge of that green and laying out in a perfect head first slide and just speeding down that fairway. And my buddy and I looked at each other and we had the green light and took off in the same way. And it's one of my fondest memories. And it's one that was totally unplanned, perfectly boyish in every way. And I just cherish it.
And we want our counselors to know that these kids are going to remember them forever, to really take seriously the opportunity and the responsibility to be a model and a mentor for these kids. And I'm sure you're seeing the counselors, you know, in varying ways, leaning into this leadership opportunity and to, you know, show some leadership ability, which we hope will serve them well later in life.
Absolutely.
And maybe here at Woodbury.
And shared, you know, that the coaches are arranged as a pairing, you know, a head and an assistant coach.
So you might, as a coach, you might not be able to do everything great.
Exactly.
Right.
You might know one sport better than another.
That's right. You might
have one ability, you know, in terms of like listening and hearing out boys and caring for them. You know, you watch those combinations and pairings work together and work through each other. And that like unique teamwork, it's a great experience for the counselors to take with them.
And they remember it.
They remember that.
Yeah.
And when they see each other, whether that be in the year, way down the road, they'll remember that. And, you know, we have that experience. You know, we've got a couple of campers here this year whose younger brothers are counselors. And we've got a bunch of campers here whose fathers, uncles, grandparents were former guys involved with the camp. And when they drop their boys off, they tell those stories.
Yeah. So you're not just director of sports camp. You have other responsibilities here at Woodbury. How does the camp connect to your other responsibilities? So you have served as director of admissions, and this is now, I believe, the beginning of your, fourth year, right?
As fourth year.
Dean of 9th and 10th grade, of third and fourth form. So what's the connection for you between leading the camp and then serving the school in these other areas?
I mean, I think the first thing I'd say is it's personal in the sense that, you know, I came to the camp as a 12 and 13-year-old boy, and while my dad went to Woodbury, the camp was my first introduction to this place and the people, the setting, the opportunities. And I still very much see that as being true for the boys who attend now, that this, for many of them, is just a small glimpse of what this larger possibility could be for them. And I think that they really do consider that. And I think for parents as well, it's also that glimpse of allowing their sons to go away to have this opportunity and sort of get used to test out that idea. In the dual roles, this is just such a fun age group, whether that be in the admission world or in this current role as the dean of students for these younger guys. You know, most of our new students every year are coming from middle schools, and they're making these two transitions, middle school to high school, home to Woodbury. Right. And on a smaller scale, that's exactly what these boys at sports camp have done.
Yep.
And so many of these sports campers, and this has been true for the longest history of the school, have come through and chosen to apply to and ultimately attend Woodbury. And I love working with boys in this transitional phase. I got my start in teaching in middle school. You know, this is my 15th summer with the sports camp. So these transitional moments for boys, you know, ages 10 and 11 to 15, 16, I mean, that's been where my head and heart have been for a long time. I love that connection. I think it's a really cool moment in a boy's life where he's just eager to learn so much about himself and what he's capable of. And then is also, he lingers in this boyish space where he wants to just have fun. It's really inspiring and fulfilling to be a part of that for them. And then to carry these relationships through their sports camp years and into their high school years, I mean, that's just, I think, a really special thing to be able to see. It is a boy go from 10 to 18.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge period of time in his life. And to see that arc, it's a real gift to be a part of that.
That's cool. And of course, so many of these kids do come to Woodbury, but some don't. And I remember, this is a number of years ago, I got a letter from a guy named Alex Peavy, who came to the camp from Richmond, never went to Woodbury, ended up working at Collegiate, was a fantastic coach at Collegiate, coached against Woodbury a lot. Alex is a terrific guy. Anyway, he sent me this letter, very personal letter, about how much sports camp meant to him and how much Woodbury meant to him as a result of sports camp with his counselors. He named them by name. He talked very personally about Red and Kathy Corrin. And so it's a really good opportunity for Woodbury to show itself to the outside world and hopefully do a little good out there. And you're doing that, so thank
Thanks.
You. A couple of rapid-fire questions. You ready? What's your favorite meal at the Fir Tree?
Oh, I go with green mint shake when they have it.
Yeah.
And if not, the mango smoothie right now is the hot ticket item.
Mango smoothie.
Yeah.
Awesome. And what about in the dining hall? It doesn't have to be just sports, because sports camp fare is boy fare. So not just
well, look, camp fare. If I said anything other than this, too many people would know I'd be lying.
Yeah.
Corn dogs, man.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, corn dog day?
Are you
kidding me? It is like...
Corn dogs.
Bring it on.
This is the right guy to be leading sports camp. That's awesome. Corn dog day. At least you didn't say the ribicue.
No. That one's not on there. But it's a fan favorite. You can't sleep on the ribicue.
Okay, that's awesome. Your favorite place on the Woodbury campus?
Definitely the fourth tee box.
The fourth
tee box or
now for those
the
who
sixth
don't
green.
Golf, where in the world is the fourth tee box?
So both of these spots are on either side of St. Andrew's Chapel.
Okay.
If you're standing at the school store, the fourth tee box is just looking out to the left. Both spots look out onto the Blue Ridge.
Yeah, beautiful
and
spot.
And especially for a sunset, they're unmatched.
Your best teacher at Woodbury?
I got to go with Ben Hale.
Oh, wow.
Are you
sucking up now to Ben Hale?
Usually. He was not only my senior English teacher, but he was my cross-country coach for 3 years. Stayed close to him post-Woodbury and now a colleague. So he's my department chair, so maybe the sucking up does have something to do with it.
Well, he's a formative guy and generated a ton of loyalty over the years. Well, Frazier, thank you. And thanks very much for leading the camp. I know in a week's time you'll take a well-deserved break, but kudos to you and to your crew.
Appreciate it.
Your counselors for leading a great camp. Go Tigers.
That's right. Go Tigers.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the podcast. Happy summer. We'll have some new additions forthcoming, but hope everybody has a happy summer. Go Tigers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Woodbury Podcast. We hope you found our discussion insightful and engaging. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, rating, or leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform. Stay tuned for more conversations in the future. And remember, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Connect with us on Woodbury Forest School social media, reach out with your questions or comments, and let's keep the dialogue going. Until next time, take care and go Tigers!